Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, like many of you, when I was younger, when I was, a teenager, I went through confirmation or affirmation of baptism in the Lutheran Church. And I remember very distinctly one of the things that took place when we had gone through, for us, it was a three-year cycle. And I remember at the end of that, when we had kind of our final one-on-ones with the pastor, I remember one question that the pastor asked us. And that was, he asked us who our hero was. I remember that really well. And I think one of the reasons I remember it was because I remember my answer. And what I had said to him, 24, however many years ago it was, I think if I had to pick just one, and I know it sounds cheesy, I think it's my dad. If I had to just pick one, I think that's really what it would come down to. You know, at the end of the day, he's not perfect. But the way I see it, if I can manage in my life to grow up to be half, three-quarters the man that he is, I figure that's going to put me ahead of most. So yeah, that's my answer. My father is not rich, and he is not famous, and he will not go down in any history books, I'm pretty certain. He grew up a Yankees fan, and it's taken me a while, but I have basically forgiven him for that. In his defense, there were only so many teams to listen to back in the 40s, so I get it. We don't talk about the designated hitter, though. We're very much on opposite ends on that one. He loves to laugh. He loves to laugh. And I honestly I'll be honest, not that great with a punchline frequently. But he loves to laugh. And he loves music, and I've always loved to listen to him whistle, although the thing of it is, he can't carry a tune in a bucket. And in college, he trained to be an engineer out at Luther College out in Decorah, Iowa. But he dropped out to go work for Boeing. Can't remember how many years into it he was, so he never finished his degree. And for some reason, in this part I've never quite figured out, he genuinely likes lutefisk. About 20 years ago when he got hit by that drunk driver, I know we've talked about that before. Before that point, he could build just about anything out of wood. Bookshelves, tables, cabinets, chests of drawers. And even now, with his lathe, he still makes beautiful pieces of art with that. I showed the kids the little top earlier, but this little bowl I hand the kids the candies out of every week. He made that. And every year for Christmas, he thumbs through his woodworking catalogs to figure out what he's going to make this year for ornaments for the family. And most importantly, in 55 years of marriage, my mother has never once had to wonder whether or not he loved her. Because it's always been so clear. And not once have we kids ever had to doubt that either. And in 80 years on this planet, his faith in God has been lifted up as an inspiration by several people who've told me that. Now, Father's Day is a day. We talked about that earlier, and I know you knew it anyway, because it's always, you know, in the news or announced or whatever else. And up until this year, Father's Day has been very important to me for one reason and one reason in particular. And that's because of a deal Sarah and I made years ago. That on Father's Day, or by extension on Mother's Day, the honored parent did not have to change any diapers. And I gotta tell you, that's an awesome gift. But that's not an issue for us anymore. And so this year, instead of looking forward to that, I've been looking at it with slightly different eyes. And I've been thinking a little bit about how the boys are getting a little older. And it's really clear that they're in that stage where they are starting to look to me to get an idea of what it means for them to be a man. And every day, in big and in small ways, and intentionally and unintentionally, I am modeling for them behaviors and attitudes. And they're seeing it. They're seeing all of it. They're sucking it in with their little sponge brains. And it makes me so aware of how flawed I am. Is there anything more convicting as a parent than when your kids start doing the things that annoy you that you know you do? You follow me? You remember that? Like, they start doing those things and you just think to yourself, oh, they got that from me. Yeah, that was mine. I can be really impatient at times. Sometimes I carry a grudge. I'm really particular about how I like certain things to be done. I've made the comment before that, you know, the thing about a name like Chris Odie is, you can't spell it without OCD. Thank you for getting that. The reading today, verses 20 and 21, so we are ambassadors for Christ since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. Or if we lived 120 years ago, we would be, what did I call the sermon? We would be envoys extraordinary and ministers plenipotentiary. That would be a Victorian era name for an ambassador. You can see where they condensed it. We are ambassadors for Christ. What do you know about ambassadors? What do they do? Spread goodwill.
Bridge cultures.
They represent their government. They represent their people, right? An ambassador serves as a representative of some organization or some country to another country, right? And they have certain powers they are entrusted with, certain responsibilities, but they also live as an example. They live as an example of their homeland in that other place. And people look to them as an example of what people from that homeland are like. We are ambassadors for Christ. You think about it that way, it's a pretty big responsibility. Ambassadors for Christ. People look to us to get a sense of who Christ is. What Christ means, what Christ stands for. And at the end of the day, it's really not that hard. It really isn't. We've talked before about the Great Commission, right? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have commanded you, and know that I am with you until the end of the age. That ring a bell?
Yes.
And then we've talked before about, okay, that's great. So that's in Matthew. And then in Matthew, what does Jesus actually command people to do? Two things: love God, love neighbor. Well, that was easy. It really isn't that complicated to be an ambassador for Christ. It means living a life that shows you care about people. It means living a life that shows you care about God. And as much as some of you like to beat up on yourselves, and I love you dearly, but I've seen you do it, I've seen you all live those lives. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ. We're not called to be ambassadors for the church. Did you catch that? Paul doesn't say go and be an ambassador for the church, for the institution, for the structure. Because the church, as great as it is, that's all it is. It is just a tool for God. A tool for God to use, a structure, an institution. It's a way for God's will to be known in the world, but it is not the same as God. You follow? Don't worry, it's going to come together. I know I was gone for a week, but it's going to come together. Helping people connect to God, showing people how to connect to God, living lives that reflect a connection to God. That's what it boils down to be an ambassador for Christ. In other words, when people show up here, that's awesome. They get connected here, that's great, but it's not the goal in and of itself. Our call is not to build the church. Our call is to be the church. And what is that kind of? I know some of you just gave me that eyeball. That I saw the eyebrow go up for one or two people. You don't grow the church by focusing on church growth. You grow the church by focusing on people and on God, on showing people that they are loved, on showing people how to love God. That is where growth comes from. Growth is an effect, it's not a cause. Or it's a response, if you will. And when you think about it that way, again, being an ambassador for Christ is really not that hard. It's in your skill set. My father never knew his dad. He never met him. Not really. His dad died super young, like 33 or something like that. They were out in the farmland in somewhere on the borders of Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota. He had a tooth infection, went really bad, was never treated, went septic. My dad told me once his only memory of his father is actually seeing him being placed in the back seat of someone's car because he was already gone and was being taken off to the morgue. I think he was like 6. So how did he become such an awesome father? His uncles, who he credits. His father's brothers, his mother's brothers, these stoic Norwegian Midwestern farmers in the 30s and 40s, who showed him how to be a good person. And from that foundation, he built the rest. I know that some of you worry at times about the size of our congregation. Don't. Especially on Father's Day, for crying out loud. It's like one of the lowest attendance days of the year. Father's Day and the weekend after Easter. Don't. I know that our congregation is not the size that it was 30 years ago. Or even 15. But I also know that it's not the size that it's going to be. And more importantly, I know it's not the community that it's going to be. Because we are building something here. We are building something new, and building things takes time, and it takes patience, and it takes faith. But just like my dad 70 plus years ago, that strong foundation is already in place. And I promise you that God is at work on the rest. Let us pray. We give you thanks on this day and always, O God, for your faithfulness. We ask you to continue to put in us the trust in you, to help us to be aware of how we may walk faithfully, model your love and compassion. We give you thanks for the opportunity to do ministry in this place, for the opportunity to expand ourselves, to try new things, to challenge ourselves, to be challenged by you. Help us to keep in mind your call every day to be not afraid and to be faithful and loyal servants. We pray this, trusting in your holy, good, and gracious name. Amen.